Money Talk.
This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on RBI's forecast about economic growth amidst global challenges. The participants are A.K. Bhattacharya, economic analyst, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor.
I'm joined by Shri A.K. Bhattacharya, and today our discussion is on the RBI's October 2025 bulletin on the resilience of the Indian economy despite global uncertainty and weak external demand. AKB, it's good to have you on this discussion.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Could you tell us about your views regarding the bulletin when it comes to consumption in the economy?
RBI's October bulletin is fairly hopeful of the consumption sentiment that had turned positive in the first quarter of the year. If you had noticed that in the first quarter, the GDP numbers came up with an overall GDP growth of around 7.8%, of which a large chunk was driven by consumption. So it was the consumption which had driven the growth in the economy in the first quarter. Investment, to be fair, was not that robust. It has maintained a healthy pace, but it was not that robust. Now, what this October bulletin tells you is that the consumption story continues intact. And what it has been aided by is not just what you mentioned very correctly, is a very benign, almost a 99-month CPI inflation rate. 99 months would mean almost like 8 years. So we haven't seen the kind of inflation rate which has been as benign and as low as we saw it in the last 8 years. So in this situation, it is very reasonable to expect consumers to go out in the market and not feel the pinch of inflation and go out and buy some more goods and services. Now, add to that is something that I think my quick read of the RBI October bulletin tells me that probably it did not really touch upon this issue as extensively as it could have, is the GST rate cut decision, which was introduced with effect from September 22nd. Now, if you look at both the consumption pattern, look at the inflation trajectory, and on top of that, you have got the GST rate rationalization, which essentially meant, if you look at the government's own figures, essentially almost about a lakh crore of concessions were given by reducing rates. Now, if you add what was done through the income tax relief kicked in from April, it was another 1.6 lakh crore. So, taken together, what you are seeing right now and the RBI October bulletin is conscious of is 2.67 lakh crore of consumption boost to the economy. Now, this is not a small number. It is almost 0.9% of GDP boost. So that is what is RBI is trying to explain, that these are very basic, almost foundational changes that has happened in the economy with the GST and the income tax rate cuts, boosting consumption. I think people are going out and buying things, placing orders for new cars, everything. So therefore, I will be surprised if the RBI's assessment on a consumption boost to the economy turns to be wrong.
Also equally important is a debt servicing capacity. The interest coverage ratio for manufacturing firms is 7.7, which is supposed to be very healthy. And leveraging the financing part of it is the SME IPOs, which has seen a huge boost in the previous financial year and currently as we speak. So how do you assess the health of companies vis-a-vis the consumption story in India?
I think that's the dilemma and that's the challenge that the Indian economy faces right now. What we have seen post-COVID is a smart recovery by India Inc. by deleveraging itself, which as a result has also benefited the Indian banking system, because the Indian banking system, which was facing a twin balance sheet problem, has also recovered as a result. So you are seeing the Indian companies doing better, as you pointed out, that their profit margins have improved. They are going out and raising money. Now, when you are saying that they're going out and raising money through IPOs, what does it mean? It essentially means that you're tapping into Bayo'd stock market, Bayo'd not by the foreign institutional investor, but by the domestic investor. So you are tapping into that huge reserve and doing an IPO. So the promoter entities are actually capitalizing on this and probably strengthening their own financial muscles, need not necessarily always strengthening the Indian economy's muscles, which will come through only if they invest more. So the company's investments have not gone up as much as their profits have gone up. Companies' wages payment have not gone up as much as their own profitability has gone up. So what you are seeing is that the Indian companies have done well. The stock market has rewarded them. The Indian companies have gone in and raised more money from the market, but they are not investing enough in the market because they are not yet fully sure that there is necessity to invest more to meet higher demand. Because right now the capacity utilization level in the manufacturing companies is still around 77-80%. In some cases 85%. But it is still not enough to encourage them to go in for fresh extra investment. Only when the capacity utilization level comes to a level of 90% that they will be encouraged to go in for more investment. So therefore, our Indian economy growth story continues to be a consumption story driven by government investment. Government has invested a lot more on the capital side by creating more infrastructure. But the companies are a very important segment. They have a little stayed away from it. So the real challenge for the Indian economy, or the puzzle of the Indian economy, is at what point do the Indian companies come in and invest more, and why will they do it? If they are sure of demand, which through the GST rate cut, the income tax cut seems to be coming, probably they are hesitant because they need more improved ease of doing business. They may be needing more reforms. They want the labor codes to be notified. They want probably the electricity amendment bill, which is the draft bill, is now out for circulation. That need to be implemented by passed by parliament instead of being put sent to a select committee like it was done in 2022. So these are all important things. There is an initiative taken at the highest level in the government on deregulation. There are two important bodies in the government which are working on deregulation at the central level and deregulation at the state level in consultation with the states. Now, these are all very, very important developments. If they yield fruit, my feeling is that the consumption side seems to be not that big a puzzle. But on the investment side, it is still a puzzle and a challenge. Now, if that challenge is resolved, consumption and investment, both which are both the wheels of any economy, without which the economy does not run. So once that has been addressed, I would say that Indian economy's sustained growth story will be ensured.
Well, on the subject of resilience of the Indian economy, we also have the IMF forecast of 6.6% GDP growth rate for the calendar year 2025-26, and this has been an upgrade of 40 basis points in its World Economic Outlook report. And the central bank, RBI's projection, which was announced on October the 1st, 6.8%. But this, I believe, is for the financial year. And the World Bank has also given an upgrade in terms of what our GDP rate is going to be, 6.5% for the calendar year 2025-26. So clearly, there has been an upgrade in terms of what the GDP productivity of the country is going to be in terms of the expenditure approach or the income approach. But there are headwinds also. And could you tell us about what the headwinds are in terms of our exports to countries like the United States of America and the tariff policy? Is there going to be a resolution, timely resolution, of the bilateral agreement so that there is trade between both the countries, and India can obviously able to achieve not only its present projection, but the next year's projection, which is slightly lower?
Well, there is no doubt that trade is one of the biggest challenges that the Indian economy faces right now. As you know, that just exports account for almost a fifth of the India's economy. Now, if a fifth of India's economy is constrained in a big way or facing huge uncertainties because whether Mr. Trump will agree to an agreement with India or not, is something that is bothering Indian producers. Large parts of Indian exports have already been affected, although the first 6 months' data show that the Indian exporters have shown tremendous resilience by diverting many of its exports to areas and regions which are not affected by these uncertainties. But nevertheless, I think India's exports will suffer. So sooner this agreement is signed with the US, better it is for us. But as you know, it is nobody will like to take a bet on when Mr. Trump will agree to sign that agreement. From India's side, a couple of drafts have already been prepared, keeping in mind India's strategic interests. And why not? India should keep its strategic interests in mind. But nobody knows when it will happen. So therefore, what is the way out? The way out is India must explore other trading arrangements. There is comprehensive and progressive compact with Trans-Pacific Nation. Now, I think CCTPP, India should explore that. India has already signed an agreement with the UK. We have got an agreement with the UAE. We have got an agreement with Australia. We need to really strengthen our relationship with the ASEAN. So we should not just wait and for Mr. Trump to agree to the agreement. Instead, we should go into Japan. We already done that. So now these are all very important things. And in addition to opening up new trade opportunities, we should be refocused on the domestic economic policy reforms agenda. There is a long list, which I mentioned, and I think the government should see this as an opportunity to expedite those reforms, particularly at the state level. India is not only New Delhi. India is a conglomeration of 31 states and union territories. So if reforms take place and grow roots in these 31 states and union territories, my sense is that India's attractiveness as an investment will increase. You will find more alphabets coming and setting up their AI data centers in India. More Apples will come and set up their phone manufacturing facilities in India. Samsung will come. LG will launch its IPO. Hyundai launched its IPO. So all these are very, very developments that should make you feel that if you can improve your ease of doing business here and improve the attractiveness of the Indian market, then India can actually make progress without necessarily depending on whether Mr. Trump agrees to signing a pact with India.
So Atmanirbharta, foreign direct investment, making India's technology and labor market very attractive for foreign investment is clearly the key. Set off with UK, which is a comprehensive economic trade agreement. We also have diverted a great deal of our gems and jewelry exports to the United Arab Emirates, China and Hong Kong, for that matter. There's some downside in the apparels industry right now, but there is also a demand, and this is an outcome of geopolitics, that our imports from Russia be reduced. How do you see these pressure tactics being tackled by India?
The EU decision will take effect only from January 2028, so you have still many more months to go, by which time a lot of water will flow on the River Volga. So I don't want to take any bets on what really happens to the Russian oil. But the Indian stance is very clear, that India's stance on the Russian oil is purely its strategic requirement. And remember that if the crude oil prices have gone up a little bit, I wouldn't be surprised. They have not gone up to some extent in response to this pressure that will come on the non-Russian oil in the global market. And that is not good for the global economy either. Therefore, if India is going to be impacted because of the global demand, the US demand on sanctions on the US oil, all economies will be impacted. So, which is why I think the IMF has given you an estimate of Indian economic growth, which is lower.
Thank you so much, A.K. Bhattacharya, for being with us on this discussion on the RBI October Bulletin on the resilience of the Indian economy despite the global uncertainty and weak external demand. Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on RBI's forecast about economic growth amidst global challenges. The participants were A.K. Bhattacharya, economic analyst, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.
Money Talk.